This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. You may be familiar with the ordeal of introducing children to broccoli and spinach. Two new studies suggest that finicky eaters might have picked up their discriminating habit in the womb. Forget genetics, personal responsibility, and discipline. Your taste for junk food and soda may have a lot to do with how your mother satisfied her cravings. Kristen Wortman is a food, politics, and health journalist. She wrote about the science of food choices for the New York Times, and Virginia spoke with her last year.
What people feed their children now is, of course, a huge topic of study right now. The research that you are writing about considers how a child's preferences and tastes are formed. Can you give us the headlines?
Sure. So there's two research studies that I'm working on in terms of this article. And the one that was done at the Monell Research Center in Philadelphia found that what mothers eat while pregnant and breastfeeding actually determines what babies will, and then children will have preferences for later in life. So this is about taste preferences and how they develop. The other study, which was done at the University of Adelaide in South Australia, has to do with reward pathways in the brain. So this is about opioid receptors, basically, meaning babies that are exposed to junk food in utero and through breast milk have a desensitized reward pathway for opioids. So that means these babies will have to eat more junk foods, foods high in salt and sugar especially, to get the same feel-good response as babies who weren't exposed to those foods.
That sounds like an addiction.
It's basically the same pathway in the brain. We're hardwired to like sweets. That's how we're born. Mother's milk, breast milk, is naturally very sweet. So we're hardwired for that. And there is a pathway in the brain that gives us pleasure when we're exposed to these kinds of sweet flavors. And drug addicts actually use that same reward pathway in the brain. So it's really interesting that this research is indicating how similar this is to a drug addiction.
Now, that's the result of the study at the Food Plus Research Center at the University of Adelaide in Australia. What kinds of foods were the mothers eating that helped create this reinforcement of a pathway for sweets and fats, I guess?
They defined junk food in the study as foods that were high in salt, sugar, and fat. And the foods they fed the mothers were Fruit Loops, Cheetos, Nutella, and also peanut butter. And I had a little bit of an issue with the peanut butter because I don't think that's an unhealthful food. It's a whole food. It's just peanuts ground up. Unless, of course, you're buying like Skippy or something, which is full of all kinds of additives and high fructose corn syrup. But I think it's not only the saltiness, sweetness, and fat, but we have to also keep in mind all the additives and chemicals that are added to those foods that, you know, those were not in our diet 100 years ago. Mm. And no one was exposed to them then. So there's this whole confluence of different kinds of things added to the food now that we've never been exposed to before.
I'm thinking about the long view here in the evolutionary process of human beings and the kind of foods that people have preferences for. Mm-hmm. Fats and salts are things that were survival foods. How does this work into a sort of evolutionary model of human beings passing on actual tastes to children?
Yeah, well, that's absolutely right. So the researchers at Monell Center told me that what we're exposed to in utero and through breast milk is teaching us as young babies what we are going to expect throughout our lives and what's in our food environment that's around us. So say 50, 60 years ago, before we had all these processed foods in our diet, mothers were eating the foods that the baby would then eat for the rest of his or her life. So we were learning these really important things about what's safe to eat and what's going to make us healthy and keep us alive, basically. And now with, you know, the majority of Americans eating highly processed, highly refined foods and very few whole foods and very few vegetables, we're not getting that sort of hardwiring for what is going to be good for us later on and what is going to keep us, you know, to have the most healthy and long life. So there's definitely, you know, there's a strong evolutionary mechanism at work here, and we're really subverting it by not feeding our babies real whole foods.
How deterministic is that, however? I know a lot of little kids, you know, they would prefer to eat a cookie, obviously, to broccoli. Isn't this something that people just outgrow?
Well, Julie Minella at the Monell Center said that she really thinks it's not that, like, you know, your mom ate the cookie, so therefore you want the cookie. Kids don't need to learn to like sweets. That's something we're biologically hardwired for. But they do need to learn to like Brussels sprouts and broccoli that have these really bitter, pungent flavors. And so if you're not fed any of those foods, then you're just not getting the exposure to that. So you're just going to keep preferring the sweet foods. And also keep in mind that, you know, not only taste, but texture is important when we talk about flavor preference. So breast milk, the texture is constantly changing along with the flavor. The viscosity changes, the way it coats the mouth changes. And with formula, on the other hand, you're not getting any of that change in texture. So when we hear babies and children liking really bland, monotonous foods, it appears that this has, you know, a really fairly big role in that taste development.
How about if you are formula fed as a child? Is there hope that your openness to a wider range of flavors can expand?
Sure. And this is another thing Julie Minella says at the Monell Center. It's that, you know, it's not hopeless if you're formula fed. Babies, there's this inherent elasticity in our what we want to eat. So the baby, if it's exposed to vegetables and all these variety of flavors repeatedly, then there's a chance and a likelihood that he or she will want to eat those foods later on. But it's really important that the parents give the children the food repeatedly, because they've also done studies where, you know, the baby is fed broccoli and it makes this terrible face that, you know, it doesn't want to eat the food.
I've seen it.
But what Julie Minella said is that you just have to keep trying it over and over, and don't be discouraged by the baby's facial expressions. That's sort of just like this natural thing that they do. So, you know, after 8 to 10 times, the baby is much more likely to accept those foods.
Kristen Wortman, I want to thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Kristen Wortman is a food, politics, and health journalist. She wrote about the science behind food choices for the New York Times. You can find a link to that piece and more at wordofmouthradio.org. Sometimes, despite our best efforts to eat healthy and avoid sweet or salty snacks, we do gravitate towards those certain foods we know we should probably avoid. Or sometimes, foods that aren't necessarily bad, but are just kind of weird. In the U.S., 50 to 90% of women report experiencing strange cravings for very specific foods during pregnancy. Here's Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in a scene from I Love Lucy.
But if you don't stop having these silly cravings at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to freeze to death. Here.
Is this pistachio?
Yeah, that's pistachio. Here's your spoon.
Which is that?
Hot fudge.
Pour it on top. That's right. Ooh. Now pour that right on top of this.
But honey, these are sardines.
Right on top.
Now, despite the ample amount of anecdotal evidence for these kinds of cravings, not much research has been done to pinpoint the cause. A recent study from the State University of New York in Albany looked at the most commonly craved food, chocolate, to determine why cravings ramp up for women during pregnancy. And preliminary results from the study revealed that they may have more to do with the mind than they do biological factors. Tell a person they can't or shouldn't have something, chances are they'll want it even more. Which doesn't really explain pistachio ice cream with sardines on top. That just sounds nasty. Whatever the case may be, don't quote me on this if your partner sends you on a late-night trip to the grocery store for a sour pickle or steak and cheese or whatever the craving may be. Coming up, the story of a man on a personal quest of self-discovery, a journey across the country on foot. Unfortunately, instead of finding himself, he loses himself along the way. That story when Word of Mouth continues.